Welcome to El Microscopio, a program exclusively dedicated to clinical chemistry and laboratory medicine. International Federation of Clinical Chemistry, IFCC. Executive Director, Dr. Hernan Ferris Tayeb.
Member of the Committee of Evidence-Based Laboratory Medicine of the International Federation of Clinical Chemistry.
Organizing Committee, Dr. Maria Montserrat Blanes Gonzalez from Paraguay, Dr. Rosa Isabel Sierra Amor from Mexico, and Dr. Estela Raimondo from Uruguay.
El Microscopio. A program exclusively dedicated to clinical chemistry.
El Microscopio, where health professionals can meet over the internet.
We are thankful to the audience. We have more than 100,300 Facebook likes. Let's go for more.
El Microscopio, a way of looking at knowledge.
The Spanish Association of Pharmaceutical Analysts and the Chilean Society of Clinical Chemistry accompany El Microscopio.
El Microscopio in Africa.
The 14th International Congress of Pediatric Laboratory Medicine will also be held in Durban, South Africa, from the 20th to the 22nd October 2017.
El Microscopio.
El Microscopio.
El Microscopio.
A way of looking at knowledge.
Dr. Larissa Furtado is an assistant professor of pathology at the University of Utah School of Medicine. She received her MD at Unifoa in Brazil and completed a medical genetics residency at the University of São Paulo. Dr. Furtado completed her residency in anatomic and clinical pathology at the University of Utah and ARUP Laboratories, where she was chief resident, and her molecular genetic pathology fellowship at the University of Michigan. She is board certified by the American Board of Pathology in anatomic and clinical pathology with subspecialty certification in molecular genetic pathology. Dr. Furtado's research interests include genomic diagnostics in solid tumors and molecular diagnostic methods in oncology.
Professor Larissa Furtado, welcome to Microscopio.
Thank you. It's a great to be here. It's a pleasure.
In this interview, we wanted to talk about next-generation sequencing, and our question is, what is the basis of next-generation sequencing technique?
So next-generation sequencing, which is also known as massive parallel sequencing or deep sequencing, analyzes individual DNA molecules from a large pool of DNA molecules in a massively parallel manner. And this is made possible by a critical first step whereby DNA molecules are spatially separated from each other, essentially transforming this complex pool of molecules into a collection of isolated single molecules. And the details of the separation are really not critical for this discussion, but for example, it may involve separating the DNA molecules into individual microbubbles, in the case of emulsion PCR, or by spreading fragments of DNA across a surface, such as a flow cell, which is covered with complementary oligonucleotides. So in order to produce enough signal from each individual DNA molecule, local PCR amplification is performed, creating a population of local amplified clusters. And once the individual clonal groups are generated, a great number of individual starting DNA molecules can then be sequenced simultaneously with separate data produced for each of them. And the next-generation sequencing systems require that the input DNA take the form of small fragments, typically a few hundred base pairs or less. And typically, this is achieved by ultrasonic fragmentation or by other methods such as multiplex PCR or enzymatic fragmentation, and etc. And because DNA can be sequenced, before DNA can be sequenced, it needs to undergo the so-called library preparation. And in this process, following an enzymatic end repair, nucleotide sequences, also known as adapters, are added to the ends of the DNA fragments to make them compatible with the sequencer instrument. And each adapter has or can have index barcode sequences, which are assigned to individual patients. So multiple different samples from different patients can be put together and run in a highly multiplexed fashion on a single instrument run to leverage the platform throughput. And single DNA molecules are then arrayed in solid surfaces, such as flow cells or beads, and sequenced in situ using reversible DNA chain terminators or cycles of oligonucleotide ligation. And the next generation sequencing signal outputs are based on luminescence or fluorescence or changes in ion concentration. And some platforms produce only one sequence read, which is the so-called single-end sequencing, while others allow for a second read from the opposite end of each fragment, which is the so-called paired-end sequencing. And the details of the sequencing reactions are also platform-specific. But after sequencing, each patient's data can be extracted from the pooled data on the basis of these patient-specific barcode sequences, which is very valuable, and it's currently frequently used in clinical laboratories to provide targeted data on many patients at once, reducing the per-patient sequencing costs. And one last concept that's worth mentioning is that there are many ways to produce sequencer-compatible libraries from genomic DNA. And the choice of the method depends a lot on the types and sizes of the genomic features being investigated, as well as other factors such as cost, sequencing platforms, and others. But for whole genome sequencing, the whole genome libraries are prepared by simply adding adapters and patient-specific barcodes to the small DNA fragments of typically a few hundred base pairs or less in size. And in other words, after the basic steps of DNA fragmentation and adapter ligation, the genomic DNA fragments are essentially ready for whole genome sequencing. But for targeted sequencing, there are some wet lab chemistry approaches such as multiplex PCR or hybrid capture probes that are used to concentrate the sequencing effort on the genomic territory of interest.
What is the role of bioinformatics in next-generation sequencing?
So the output of next-generation sequencing is actually a simple list of sequences or reads of all of the clonal clusters that were produced from the sequencing library. And in order to derive meaning, the data must first be put into a context. And the bioinformatics pipelines are used in this setting for alignment of the reads to a reference genome sequencing, for variant calling, for variant annotation, and also to assist with result reporting.
Does next-generation sequencing have any other uses in medicine?
Oh, yes. So the number of applications of human genomic analysis in modern clinical practice is vast, and it is constantly expanding due to the new discoveries and technological breakthroughs. However, the clinical applications that today are currently available generally focus on testing for inborn disease mutations via whole genome sequencing, exome sequencing, or smaller targeted panels. Also, next-generation sequencing is used in oncology testing to identify cancer mutations in cancer-related translocations. And most of the next-generation sequencing assays in oncology include smaller targeted panels between 5 to 50 genes, although larger panels using 50 to 500 genes are increasingly being utilized, particularly for clinical trial and research applications. And also in oncology, next-generation sequencing can be used for cell-free tumor DNA testing, for the non-invasive workup of a wide array of solid tumors, including for the serial and early assessment of disease, characterization of treatment effects, minimal residual disease monitoring, and assessment of clonal evolution. And another area in which next-generation sequencing is also getting some traction is in identity testing for both patient and forensic samples.
Thank you. Is there any final comment you would like to make?
I just would like to thank you for the opportunity and really tell you the audience that understanding genomics and also the different technologies that are currently being used for genomic testing is very important, because even if you are not currently directly involved with genomic testing, you probably, as you practice medicine or as you practice biology in any different field, you'll be exposed to genomics, and it's important to understand, I guess, how the technology works and the different applications and limitations. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to have you in Ricoscopio.
Thank you.
The next IFTC World Lab Congress 2017 will be held in Durban, South Africa, on 22nd to 25th October 2017. It is hosted by the South African Association for Clinical Biochemistry and Laboratory Medicine.
Places in my life and time, I've sung a lot of songs, I've made some bad rhymes, I've acted out my love in stages with 10,000 people watching, but we're alone now and I'm singing this song to you. I know your image of me is what I hope to be. I treated you unkindly, but darling, can't you see? There's no one more important to me. Darling, can't you please see through me? 'Cause we're alone now and I'm singing this song to you. You taught me precious secrets of the truth, withholding nothing. You came out in front and I was hiding. But now I'm so much better, and if my words don't come together, listen to the melody, 'cause my love's in their hiding. I love you in a place where there's no space and time. I love you for my life, you are a friend of mine. And when my life is over, remember when we were together. We were alone and I was singing this song to you.
This is El Microscopio on infobiochimica.com.
El Microscopio in the world, our correspondents in every country. Alberto Barrantes in Costa Rica, Álvaro Justiniano Gross in Bolivia, Ana Leticia Maselli in Guatemala, Carmen Cecilia Almonacid Urrego in Colombia, Cristina Cerveto from Uruguay, Eduardo Aranda in Chile, Graciela Velázquez from Paraguay, María del Carmen Pasquel from Ecuador.
I get to see World Up Congress 2017. Why Durban? Located in the province of KwaZulu-Natal, Durban in South Africa's self-styled playground, where year-round warm weather encourages visitors to make the most of the province's outdoors lifestyle. Culturally, Durban exhibits a mix of Indian, Zulu, and post-colonial influences reflected in the city's architecture and cuisine. Durban has a humid subtropical climate, with hot and humid summers and pleasantly warm and dry winters, which are frost-free. This is South Africa's top domestic holiday destination, and whether it is adventure or relaxation you seek, Durban makes for unforgettable experiences.
El microscopio.
A way of looking at knowledge.
Professor Vera Desik is assistant professor, assistant director of microbiology and in laboratory in the Department of Pathology at the University of Chicago. Her clinical interests are medical microbiology, and her research interests are direct sequencing from clinical samples, identification of slow-growing or difficult-to-culture pathogens.
Vera Desik, welcome to Microscopio.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me for this interview.
We wanted to talk about the next generation sequencing for microbiological diagnosis, the University of Chicago experience. Could you please tell us about the advantages of next generation sequencing over sequencing conventional technology?
Sure. Next generation sequencing is actually an umbrella term that describes different sequencing technologies, which allows sequencing of DNA and RNA quicker and cheaper as compared to Sanger technique, which was developed in the 70s. The three revolutions that happened in sequencing technology that have transformed this landscape of sequencing or total genome sequencing, which will include microbiology genome as well, are whole genome shotgun sequencing, high throughput sequencing, and single molecule long read sequencing. So target amplicon sequencing or whole genome sequencing basically uses target specific primers for PCR mediated amplification, and genomic regions of interest are enriched and selectively sequenced. For sequencing for de novo, basically is assembly of whole genomes and uses shotgun approach where microorganisms are known. And in that kind of area, we have whole genome shotgun sequencing of one organism or metagenomic whole genome shotgun sequencing where DNA is extracted from the sample and produces mixture of genomes which are then subjected to Y genome sequencing en masse. So you will have many organisms that you can identify.
What is the basis of the technique?
The basis of technique, basically there are differences among the sequencing methodologies available in the market. Major differences among next-generation sequencing technologies and platforms available in the market include read length, throughput, number of reads generated per run, runtime and run cost, and as well sequencing chemistry. So, for instance, NGS short-read platforms that employ sequencing by ligation available on the market are Solid and Complete Genomics, BG-Seq 500. And for them, read length is 50 to 75 base pairs, that's on Solid platforms, and 50 to 100 base pairs on BG-Seq 500 platforms. Among the short-read platforms that use sequencing by synthesis available are Illumina with cyclic reversible terminator. Read length is 150 base pairs, and IonTorrent, which has single nucleotide addition 454, and read length is 200 to 1,000 base pairs. Among the long read platforms for the single molecule long time reads available are currently on the market Pacific Biosciences that produce 8 to 20 kilobase pair lengths, and Oxford Nanopore up to 200. For the platforms that are available for synthetic long reads are Illumina and 10x Genomics. And there are many new ones, new upcoming platforms, such as Gene Apsis, Electronic Lunchbox Size Sequencer, Genia Nanopore Sequencing Technology, Firefly that includes one-channel technology, Nanostring Technology with enzyme-free hybridization technology, GNU Bio with the fluorescence resonance energy transfer technology, and electron optical and electron microscopy based system.
What applications does next generation sequencing have in clinical microbiology?
So infectious diseases are one of the leading causes of the worldwide mortality, and the rapid detection of the pathogen is crucial for the implementation of appropriate therapy and improvement of patient care. So next-generation sequencing techniques increase speed and sensitivity of diagnosis of infectious diseases, give better determination of microbiomes, and of course enhanced microbiology research. Identification of microbiome by culture-dependent methods is limited by the fact that majority of microbial species cannot be cultured in vivo. And use of next-generation sequencing techniques is therefore a valuable extension in the diagnostic repertoire. However, capacity of sequencers is not unlimited. This means that application of whole genome sequencing for determination of complex microbiomes for diagnostics in clinical samples is far beyond the possibilities delivered by currently available platforms. In microbiology diagnostics, next-generation sequencing is obviously used for organisms identification. In addition, in virology is used for drug-resistant mutation testing, and in bacteriology for genotypic markers of drug resistance testing as well, and also in virulence and strain typing too. And in mycology, NGS is used as a tool in taxonomic identification and also to study molecular mechanisms of resistance. The most compelling immediate application for next-generation sequencing are molecular epidemiology for the purposes of surveillance and outbreak investigation, so, for example, investigation of MRSA outbreaks, and also in drug susceptibility testing for organisms that are either slow growers or difficult to culture, for example, Mycobacterium tuberculosis or in cases of HIV. So when the increase in capacity and reduction of cost, improvement of accuracy and turnaround time are addressed in these new platforms, which I hope and is likely to happen, and given current trends that are happening in the research community, I expect that next-generation sequencing soon becomes a standard molecular microbiology technique.
What application does next-generation sequencing have in food microbiology?
Also, composition of food associated microbiota has been traditionally done by culture, which also requires isolation and cultivation of the microorganisms and also their identification and typing. However, it has been shown that many microorganisms cannot be cultured for the complete characterization of these also intricate ecosystems, including those of foods. So next-generation sequencing can be successfully used in profiling and also genetic characterization of the microorganisms. So, for example, it can be used to determine fate of starters that are used in food microbiology and also pathogens when can happen, can contaminate food during food manufacturing and also during food ripening. And also, this technique can be used to predict product shelf life, for example. And also, as I mentioned before, it can be used in food pathogen identification and also outbreak surveillance. So, for example, in the United States, recently developed genome tracker is the first distributed network of labs that utilizes wide genome sequencing for pathogen identification and also outbreak surveillance. And network consists of United States federal laboratories, state health and hospital laboratories, and also some laboratories located outside of the U.S.
Thank you very much, Professor Vera Tesic. It's been a pleasure to have you in Microscopio.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It was a pleasure too.
Where can you find further information? We upload news about publications, websites, and institutions.
El Microscopio.
An online radio program about biochemistry.
News. The IFSC is pleased to announce that Professor Howard Morris of Adelaide, Australia, has been elected as IFSC President-elect. The term of IFSC President-elect will commence on January 1st, 2017, to be confirmed as IFSC President for the period January 1st, 2018, until 31st December 2020. We congratulate Professor Howard Morris and wish him a fruitful cooperation for the promotion of clinical chemistry and laboratory medicine worldwide.
News.
IFSC is proud to announce its distinguished awards for presentation at the IFSC Congress in October 2017, Durban, South Africa.
News.
The IFSC Distinguished Award are the highest honors that the Federation can bestow to scientists and clinicians who work in clinical chemistry and laboratory medicine or related disciplines worldwide in recognition of their outstanding achievements to publicize their exceptional research and other contributions that have improved medical and healthcare and to stimulate and encourage other scientists to accelerate their efforts in advancing clinical chemistry and laboratory medicine. Nominations are welcome from the president or national representative of the nominee's national society, which would be a full member of the IFSC. Each nomination should contain a statement as to the reasons for nomination, a full CV of the nominees including bibliography, and other letters of support, which are optional. They should be sent to Mr. Colin Lancy of the IFSC office, and the closing date for receipt of nomination is January 31st, 2017. For more information, you can visit www.ifsc.org.
News.
This is El Microscopio on infobiochimica.com.
El Microscopio in the world. Our correspondents in every country. Rosa Isabel Sierra Amor from Mexico. José Jara from Peru. Milagros de la Rosa from Dominican Republic. Miriam Aguilera from Honduras. Rafael Calafel from Spain. Mario Chávez Villalobos from Costa Rica. Dante Janiens from Bolivia. Leverton Ortiz from Chile. The IFSC World Lab Congress 2017. Scientific information, main topics, multi-omics and laboratory medicine, autoimmune disease, allergy, cardiovascular disease, bone and joint diseases, diabetes mellitus and metabolic syndrome, critical care, emergency medicine, genetic disease, endocrinology, hemostasis, hematology, laboratory errors and patient safety, infectious disease, liver and gastrointestinal diseases, laboratory management and information technology, oncology, neurological disease, pharmacogenetics, pharmacogenomics, pediatric laboratory medicine, pregnancy and neonatology, point of care testing, renal function and injury, quality assessment, standardization, traceability, toxicology, drugs of abuse, technology, instrumentation and method evaluation, vitamins and nutrition, metabolomics.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do. They're really saying I love you. I hear babies cry, I watch them grow. They're like much more than I ever knew.
myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
El Microscopio, Agenda, offering courses, workshops, seminars, congresses.
Agenda. Medical Symposium 2016 in Harare, Zimbabwe, on December the 14th, 2016. International Congress on Quality in Laboratory Medicine in Helsinki, February the 9th to February the 10th, 2017.
Agenda.
The Winter School Advanced Cytometry Applications in Immunology at Saint-Étienne in France, March the 6th to March the 10th, 2017.
Agenda.
The 4th EFLM BT European Conference on Pre-Analytical Phase, Improving Quality in the Pre-Analytical Phase through Innovation in Amsterdam, Netherlands, on March 24th to March 25th, 2017.
Agenda.
The 7th Baltic Transfusion Medicine Congress and the 1st Latvian Congress in Laboratory Medicine in Riga on May the 11th to May the 13th, 2017.
Agenda.
The Euromed Lab Athens 2017 Satellite Meeting, Management of Inborn Errors of Metabolism from Diagnosis to Treatment, Athens, Greece, June the 10th, 2017.
Agenda.
The Euromed Lab Athens 2017 Satellite Meeting, Metabolic Bone Disease, the Role of Clinical Laboratory, in Athens, Greece, June the 10th, 2017.
Agenda.
Euromed Lab Athens 2017 Satellite Meeting, Diabetes, in Athens, Greece, June the 15th, 2017.
El Microscopio.
El Microscopio.
El Microscopio.
A way of looking at knowledge.
Dr. Carl Backus is research engineer. He's investigating the role of epigenetics in regulation of B-cell function and development and how epigenetics thereby contribute to type 2 diabetes. The aim is to increase the understanding of B-cell biology and identify potential target of novel diabetes therapies.
Dr. Carl Backus, welcome to Microscopio.
Thank you. Thank you.
In this interview, we wanted to talk about new method measures the risk of type 2 diabetes in blood. Our first question is, what is epigenetics?
Well, there are several definitions of epigenetics. One that I like is the epigenetics is the study of mitotically or meiotically heritable changes in gene function that cannot be explained by changes in the DNA sequence. It's like, for example, DNA methylation or histone modifications or microRNA, for example. So things that change gene activity without changing the DNA sequence.
And what is DNA methylation, and is it inheritable?
DNA methylation is the addition of methyl groups to DNA, and in differentiated mammalian cells, the vast majority of DNA methylation occurs on cytosines that are followed by guanines. So it's a so-called CpG site. And DNA methylation does different things depending on where in the DNA they occur. So, if, for example, promoter methylation usually reduces gene expression due to inhibition of transcription factor binding or recruitment of other factors that reduce expression. And yes, it is inheritable. When a cell replicates and the DNA is replicated, the newly synthesized strand of DNA will be unmethylated. But an enzyme called DNA methylase transferase 1 will detect this. It's called hemimethylated DNA. And the enzyme will detect this and make sure that the methylation pattern from the parental strand is copied onto the new DNA strand. And so both daughter cells will have the same DNA methylation pattern. And then there's also evidence for transgenerational inheritance, so, which means that inheritance or epigenetic changes from one generation of an organism to another. And in the case of DNA methylation, the DNA methylation pattern is almost completely removed during early development. So any inherited DNA methylation changes are likely not directly inherited, but rather inherited through other mechanisms that perpetuate the DNA methylation pattern. But yes, it is inheritable.
Mm-hmm. And in your research, what predicts DNA methylation?
So we investigate the pancreatic islets of Langerhans from human donors, and we have shown that DNA methylation in these islets is affected by factors such as sex and age. And on top of this, there's also other factors. For example, nutrient stimulation changes the methylation pattern. So it's a multifactorial issue, not only in human islets, but in any tissue. And due to this complexity, it's impossible to perfectly predict at what levels a person's DNA will be methylated at a specific site. If you do have any information of most of these important parameters for any given tissue, you can make rough estimates of the DNA methylation level, but it will never be perfect.
And does the method include sequencing? And if it does, could you please tell us about that?
So there are several methods for analyzing DNA methylation. We normally start by doing analysis at the whole genome level. We have done microarrays, for example. And then we validate findings from these experiments with a method called pair sequencing. And this method allows us to analyze specific short stretches of DNA. So yes, pair sequencing is a kind of sequencing method. I will not go into all the details because it's going to be hard to follow it without having like pictures to look at, but we start by treating the DNA we want to analyze with bisulfate, which converts unmethylated cytosines to uracil, while the methylated cytosines remain unaltered. Then we amplify this DNA in a PCR reaction, and one of the primers is biotinylated, so we can, after the PCR is run, we can denature the product and isolate just one of the strands. And this strand we can then sequence in the pair sequencing reaction. And by comparing the results with the known sequence, we can tell if the cytosines we analyzed were methylated or unmethylated in the original DNA. Like I said, this was just a very brief explanation. There are very good videos and animations online explaining pair sequencing. So if anyone is interested, I would recommend to do an online search for pair sequencing, and you will find good videos explaining this method.
And when can the risk of developing diabetes type 2 be detected or identified?
So to a certain extent, we can already do this with available parameters such as BMI and different measures of blood glucose levels, but the precision of the prediction is low. In the latest study we published, we show that DNA methylation in blood then can be used as a predictor, but the predictive strength is not stronger than the factors we already have. The thing is, we only investigated a very, very small fraction of the CPG sites in the human genome, so around 20 out of almost 30 million. So there may be much, much stronger predictors out there. And we are now planning on using our genome-wide methods and prospective cohorts to see if we can find other CPG sites that have a stronger predictive potential than the ones we analyzed in this study. But to give you a time point when we can, with good precision, detect type 2 diabetes, that's difficult, but within a few years, hopefully.
Would you like to make any final comment on this new method?
Well, like I said, it's a proof of principle, but we have hope that it can be developed into a good method to predict diabetes.
Thank you very much, Professor Kaltbach. It's been a pleasure to have you in Microscopio.
Thank you very much.
Okay, goodbye.
This is El Microscopio on infobiochimica.com.
El Microscopio in the world, our correspondents in every country. Stella Raimondo from Uruguay, Fernando Ruiz Cerda from Chile, Montserrat González from Paraguay, Isabel Fierro from Ecuador, José Francisco Valle from Mexico, Oswaldo Ruiz Narváez from Costa Rica, Patrocinio Chuecas from Spain, Rodolfo Aquino Cáceres from El Salvador.
Goes. suffered never to come back. Go turn a deeper blue. I could not foresee this thing happening to you.
El Microscopio. Infobiochimica.com.
El Microscopio.